Beautiful, take that and back for good. But now...
Journalist, TV producer, novelist and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yay, go Ian, go. Now, Scott, obviously we've spoken with Ian before, Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor at the University of Lincoln. And you did say this morning when you saw Ian on the running board, etc., is he going to be talking about Newcastle United?
I know, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
I try not to nowadays.
Celebrate and rejoice, as I said. You know, you're in the Premiership, all's going well. You can even have Schadenfreude with respect to Gus Poyet's boys down the road, and, you know, all's well with the world. But apart from that, what else would you like to sort of regale us with this week, Ian? What have you been involved with? And or would you like to say, well, you know, maybe David Moyes is getting it right after all?
Well, I hope he is. I watched the first half of the game against Bayern, and... they did park the bus a bit, but they certainly looked, you know, a team that if they were starting the season in that sort of form, you would think they would probably get into the top four.
If I can cast your mind back, those of you who actually use technology and machines, etc., to, I believe, 1978 or thereabouts, well, possibly sort of early, or, you know, 77, I think, Manchester United against Liverpool, and a certain John Motson commentating at that stage saying, there's a saying in football that a team's most vulnerable after it's just scored.
Mm-hmm.
22 seconds of happiness they had. And as a City fan, I thought that was wonderful. You know, that's just 22 seconds of happiness, and then suddenly the Germans strike. There we are. It's just a minor point, a schoolboy error, perhaps, but never mind.
Incidentally, did you see the performance of Atletico Madrid? I didn't, but I've watched them before, and I always thought they were one of the teams that could come to win the competition.
Mm-hmm.
They've got outstanding players, and they've got real energy about them. And to beat Barcelona takes some doing.
Exactly. Interesting.
I think I've done it a few times this season, actually. I'm not sure.
Scott, really, I would have thought it's a little point actually sort of introducing Baroness Hogg later on this evening with a footballing reference, because it's not going to be suitable, really. You've got to know your audience. Although, I don't know. She might be a secret closet fan of Newcastle United.
Well, I've heard that she's a brilliant striker.
Well, that's very good. Yeah. But any thoughts on sort of the foot? I mean, do you think it's getting out of hand in terms of costing, etc.? Because, I mean, obviously Wayne Rooney's on after tax, it's £150,000 a week. Well, you know, you can get a few in. Go on a few degree courses for that.
You could, yes, but you have to recognise the size of the game and its importance, and I'm sure that he pays a reasonable amount of tax.
Reasonably.
And I think a lot of the footballers now get this deal where they get the money that they're offered is after tax. Certainly if they're coming from abroad, where they may face high taxes over here. They want the net money, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then the club's got to work out the rest.
Yeah, I'm so sad that I once did the calculation on Wayne Rooney's salary, but worked out how much he'd need to earn in a 10 to 15 year playing career in order to keep himself reasonably comfortable and secure for the rest of his life.
Well, that's very good.
I think about 3 weeks of his wages would keep most people comfortable the rest of their lives.
Point to ponder, Rachel, in terms of sort of future career choices, etc. It's all down to bargaining, negotiations, and so on, which is very, very important. Actually, Rachel, did we ever give you an Ian Lennox book to actually read or take away with you?
Good. Didn't we?
Well, we'll put that right in before too long.
Thank you.
Yeah. and obviously a reminder of The Brothers, The Net, which, of course, was all about football. And this was a point you raised last weekend, which I think is particularly worthwhile returning to, because one of the criticisms of The Net, one of the very few, it has to be said, was it was too fanciful. Wasn't that right, Ian?
Yes, I got irritated by that, because it's not fanciful. If people want to do the research on Google and stuff, they'll find out that just everything that happened in my book has happened in real life.
And some of those examples of things that you included in the text are?
In one of the scenes, there was a sniper took a shot at somebody from a bridge, and that actually happened in Eastern Europe. I can't remember the name of the country, actually. It was one of the Eastern European countries who were trying to get into Europe, EEC, and they were told that there were too many gangsters involved in their football clubs, and one member of the government started to bump them off, apparently.
So let's just set the scene for Scott in terms of whether he considers it a bit of bedtime reading, etc. What and of course our listener and so on. The net. Just break it down in terms of what's the main plot line and thrust.
It's basically about a corrupt football chairman. It's not just corrupt.
That's ridiculous. Going off. I mean, how can a corrupt football chairman? Goodness me.
And he gets involved with a spy. And basically, he was told that he had a good excuse to go into Eastern Europe during the Cold War with his football team. Therefore, he's going to help them, and they made him do it, and he did. But it's basically what happens to him after that. He realizes that he's in danger himself, and he employs a very tough ex-soldier to help him.
See, to me, it sounds like the tale of Lincoln City. In the kind of current sort of Skrill Premier.
I don't know what downtown Lincoln's like with it, don't
I? I can see a bit of magic coming through with him. Maybe without a sniper, because obviously that's not that fun. But yeah, it's interesting.
It's the 100th anniversary in August, I think it is, of the start of the First World War.
Yes.
Which I'm hoping will help my... sales of my book called The Brothers, which is set in that period.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we need to introduce you to Professor Jane Chapman, who at this very University of Lincoln, that is, has got a whole range of goodies and material coming through with that. In fact, she's BBC advisors with respect to all things. Also, Lincoln Inspired will share in the next hour of the programme some of the things that you can catch up with as far as that's concerned. So, yes, it's all. In fact, this very place we're sitting on at present, Scott and Rachel, and for the listener and for yourself, Ian, used to be a testing ground for World War One tanks.
Really?
Yeah.
The
tank was invented just down the road on Tritton Road here. And there's a project to put up a tank memorial on the roundabout next to the university. We're just moving into the old Ruston's headquarters, converting it into laboratories. But they have the old First World War tank test beds down there.
Have you got the old photographs and stuff like that then?
Yeah, we just acquired them from the Ruston archive, and we're busy digitising them at the moment.
See, that's going to get you from Tyneside down to Lincoln, isn't it, Ian? You know?
And, I'll tell you what, some of these things are absolutely fascinating. When I was doing my research, I found that Annet Castle, which is the sort of the home of the Duke of Northumberland, was used as a big army camp. And when you sort of went into Google and did research, you could find actually the sort of menus they had for lunch and supper, and they had concerts and things like that, and football matches. It's all there to be, you know, found.
The magic.
I think I've always found the past fascinating, the way people live their lives.
They do things differently there. Quote was said. Yeah. Ian, it's been shorter than normal, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Yes, I have, yeah.
And will you be back with us again in the very near future?
Certainly will.
There we are, Ian
Lennox. And I will not talk about the customizers.
If you want to share, you know, get the pain out of the way, please feel free to do so.
I don't want to be labelled, Alex.
Coming up next, we've got show director of the NEHS Harrogate Springflower Show, Nick Smith, Melville star, music and media's very own Melanie Crouch, William Sitwell, and from the Simon and Garfunkel story, Dean Elliott, and Penny Roberts from Henny Penny Henhouses. All this on Siren 107.3 FM.
The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, the East Midlands Station of the Year.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. Highs today 14 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. The patchy low cloud or mist in the morning will be lifting to leave a mostly dry day with warm, sunny spells. Now, normally at this time of the year, we've always featured the fabulous soul who is Martin Fish, who is still around, of course, doing various other things, but set a template in his time as show director with respect to the North of England Horticultural Society, which was fantastic. But again, as is the case with the nature of evolution and so on, is now being taken on to a whole new fantastic level. And to address that with, of course, the upcoming Spring Flower Show, we have show director extraordinaire. That would be the fabulous Nick Smith. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm Very well, Alex. Good morning from a very sunny Harrogate here.
Ah, well, always the very best in every sense of the word from that point of view. Now, the 22nd to the 27th of April, we always like to have this down in our diaries as well, spring finally arrives here. You know, the North of England Horticultural Society, top gardening charity. This is the Chelsea Flower Show of the North, of that there is no doubt. And it's just superb. We come alive again. It's wonderful.
It's great stuff from our point of view. We love to see the fact that the season just begins with us, you know, with the first show of the season, and we also end with the last show of the season at the end of September. So that we sort of begin and end the whole thing. So we like to think that we're starting the whole thing off.
Precisely. Now, I know Camilla works wonders in terms of the publicity side of things for the whole team, but one of the things that I noticed about it is that there's a wonderful buzz that's coming through within this, and I'm looking at pocket gardens this year. I mean, let's just flag up the success of the NEHS scenario. Recently rated Britain's best gardening event by Which Gardening.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Exactly.
Number one,
exactly. Autumn Flower Show ranking third. Mm-hmm. Even if you have no interest whatsoever in horticulture, and of course we'll be talking to one of your exhibitors, Penny Roberts, with Henny Penny Henhouses later on in the show.
Excellent.
It's superb. And you've got the Basin Brass Band and the Bourbon Street Blues Jazz Band scenario. You've got music there. Scott, have you ever been to any of the Harrogate North of England Horticultural Society events?
You know, I've never made it to Harrogate.
Unbelievable.
Scott, that's shocking.
I know. Well, I have been to Harrogate, I have to say, but not to the flower show.
I was going to say, you know, to fly as Deputy Vice-Chancellor at the University of Lincoln, not to be at the NEHS Spring or Autumn Flower Show. I think we're going to have to put this right. And do I detect, Nick, a slight Newcastle accent from yourself as well?
Close enough, Durham, actually.
Oh,
close enough.
I sense a takeover gradually, as I say. We have to work in the South to civilise the folk. Only kidding. That's by the way. I'll include you as an honorary Northerner for this particular area. Or as Ian Lennox once said a couple of weeks ago, that actually the thing about Lincoln is it's north of the South.
or south of the North, which is, yeah. We're in the Midlands.
Exactly. Now let's move back to the show, because after all, yeah, let's get on topic once again. In terms of the flower shelf, what are you most looking forward to, Nick? Because lots of things that we can talk about, but is it just a case of the general buzz? Because I mean, this is the planning for this really has started even last year in essence,
in
terms
indeed.
Of getting things
it
sorted.
Did indeed. I mean, you made a good point on the pocket gardens there, Alec. I mean, the pocket gardens are part of our sort of community activities, and they're set to sort of encourage schools and groups to just come in and create whatever they like within a 1 metre by 1 metre square. So we're looking forward to some pretty fantastic results from that. And we're hoping that will then develop people to go on to create perhaps smaller shore gardens and then larger shore gardens. So we're hoping for that whole sort of delivery throughout projects that people can become more and more part of what the show's about.
The exhibitor range is always tremendous, and a whole range of other factors sort of come through with that. I mean, we see, obviously, you've got your gardening halls, you've got the Made in Yorkshire. I mean, you can browse as well. You can actually sort of... Rachel, have you ever been to a horticultural event like the Harrogate Spring Flower Show?
I can't say I have. The only thing I've ever done, and to do with, like, gardens and things, in my hometown, Bury, there's a lot of, like, townhouses that have small gardens, and they have, like, Bury... I can't remember what it's called. I don't know if it's Bury in Bloom or Secret Gardens of Bury, something like that, and you go around and you see people's gardens, and it's amazing what people do in there.
Oh, that's like an open gardens day. That's really nice. Yes, it is lovely, lovely.
Which I think is wonderful, you know, Rachel from Bury St Edmunds, and why haven't they yet? I'm sorry, it's a line I've used so many times,
yes.
But it always works. But still, life continues. I think, Rachel, if we can, you should join us on Location Report for the Harrogate Spring Flower Show. It's happening in a couple of weeks. I can't believe it's just 2 weeks.
Nice.
It's Easter week. That's where it's there, 25th of April. So literally just after that, and the exhibitors are in full force there. Floral art, that's something that sort of appeals to me in terms of the range that we've actually got there, because I know that the unlikely, and I always think the acronym, you always have very careful with acronyms. Ostrich, Outrageous Suggestions Taken Readily in Courageous Hands, is my own personal favourite. But NAFAS, which is the Northern Association of Floral Arranging Societies.
That's correct.
Has got to be one of the most, you know, unusual and yet at the same time wonderful acronyms that we've got. Because, those ladies, and indeed everybody, not just ladies, of course, the ladies and gentlemen who take place in that, they do all sorts of magical things with the designs. Things which I would have thought would have been actually beyond mortal ken, but they are there.
They really do. I mean, we're very lucky to have what we think is Britain's largest floral art hall. And really the variety and the intricacy as well within some of those works of art. And they are works of art because you know, people come from far and wide to see them. We're very, very lucky, not just with floral art, but also with florists. We also have a demonstration area in there as well, so people can sort of take part in creating something practical or being inspired by something practical as well, which is always good.
Obviously, we're based in Lincolnshire, and we like to celebrate the best of Lincolnshire in every sense of the word. But this year is a little bit special in terms of Yorkshire, because Yorkshire Festival 2014 is there, and I love the phrase here. If you coined it yourself, Nick, big credits and big kudos to actually came up with the line, this year the Harrogate Spring Flower Show will be celebrating pedals as well as petals. Yeah, Tour de France, pedals and petals.
We're very lucky to be hosting a number of activities based around the Grand Depart, from obviously here from in Harrogate. We've got quite a lot going on from the food plot to plate event. We've got some sort of food inspired by France, inspired by the Alsace region. We've got some show gardens which are based around again the Grand Depart. We've got cycling sculptures in there. We've also got sort of a Tour de Plants theme. Believe it or not, Tour de Plants.
onions optional. Sorry, cliche there, but what the hey?
I think it's onion free zone.
C'est magnifique, as Eric Cantona might have said in one of those commercials. But there we are. It's just a different life. Scott, any questions for Nick?
Well, Nick, I'm always, not so much a question, I think more an observation. I'm always amazed when I do attend flower shows and horticultural shows because of the patience that people exhibit. It's, and I'm not talking about patience as a plant, but we had a friend who was a gardener, and I was always amazed at the sort of care and the length of time he took to bring things on. I just don't have that patience.
It's absolutely amazing sometimes. We've got over 100 independent plant nurseries in the plant hall, which is just fantastic, and the care and dedication that goes into a lot of those plants is just fantastic. And that's what people are coming to see. They're coming to see that variety. They're coming to see that sort of intoxicating appeal, really, of just something that is so beautiful and so sort of transient, because it's only there for 4 days.
Yeah. Did you know that the university won a gold medal at the Chelsea Flower Show last year?
No.
Yes. Yeah. We had an interactive garden where people tweeted in their desires, and the garden opened up to display whichever area the majority of people wanted to see. So it was
fantastic.
Quite an interesting combination of our computer people working together with horticulturalists.
It's certainly something I think we'll be looking at probably exporting. Because, I mean, I think we've had some representation of the University of Lincoln in previous shows. It's just we always could do a bit more from that. So, obviously, we'll be there, flagging up a whole range of things. I mentioned Martin before, and I'm obviously not looking at... I mean, presumably Martin is still around. You haven't just packed him away into a...
No, not at all.
Well, just for fans of the Fishmeister.
Hello, my name's Martin Fish. I'm the show director of the North of England Horticultural Society, and you're listening to Midweek Drive.
That's very important. It only took him 54 takes. Only kidding, Martin.
He'll love you for that.
Well, always on the ball. It's fantastic. Of course, Nick, we clearly need to get you to customise one of our idents as well. So, you know, leads us round to the extra detail. Of course, a little plug for the website for the Harrogate Spring Flower Show, where you can get tickets and all sorts of goodies, www.flowershow.org.uk. Presumably there's a bonus for actually registering online, and we can still actually go online to actually register for tickets and things.
You can indeed, and until next Tuesday, I think it is, the tickets are available for £2.50 discount.
Outrageous. It's amazing stuff from that point of view. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition in your role as show director of the NEHS Harrogate Spring Flower Show?
Hi, what? Sorry, I missed you there.
Have you? Yes. The rehearsals. We'll get there in the end. Have you enjoyed the last few moments? Has it been okay for yourself? It's our customer service satisfaction.
It's been fantastic,
it's
Alex.
NSS online surveys. So we want the response straight away. So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
You, of course, can, and I hope to see you at the show.
Excellent. There we are. Nick Smith from the North of England Horticultural Society's show. And you know, any particular tune, Nick? I mean, I think we'll see if Mr. Computer's got a tune that he might like to actually sort of see you out with. So any particular line or artist that you'd like us to sort of see, have we got in the system?
Do you think you'd have anything by The Killers?
Do you know, that's an excellent choice. Brandon Flowers. I see what we did there. You know,
you like that?
Straight
you like that?
You know, got to make sure that's sort of through from that. What are we going for? Bones, Somebody Told Me, Miss Atomic Bomb, Human, When You Were Young, Here With Me, anything floats your boat as yet?
Anything Mr. Brightside's anywhere?
Yes, Mr. Brightside, always bright, in the garden at the NHS Harrogate Flower Show.
Let's go.
Woken us up. Fantastic. Mr. Brightside and The Killers on Siren 107.3 FM. 17 minutes past 9 o'clock. There we are. Just a little time check thrown in there because we thought we would. Why not? This is important from that point of view. Moving on. In the studio, we have the Deputy Vice Chancellor for the University of Lincoln, the legend that is Professor Scott Davidson. Yes. And doing fantastic stuff there. Is it true, Scott, that when you got back to your office, that one or two people actually sort of were very impressed with your last show that you did with us?
I got a terrific ribbing. Some of my puns. I've avoided puns today as much as possible.
Well, they're puntastic.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as an English undergraduate,
appreciate
the essence of a good pun. As indeed does our Maplestar Music and Media and indeed cowboy extraordinaire soul that is Melanie Crouch. Isn't that right, Melanie? You can't beat a good pun, can you?
No, but I'm a cowgirl, not a cowboy.
Nice. That's what we like to hear. And another cowgirl, which has really set the whole world alight in many ways, is a selection that we reprised last night with Cameron, of course, Cameron Tilbury from Nashville. When I Get That Pony Road. Love the tune, hate the grammar. That's all I have to say, you know? But never mind. Would you like to introduce this selection so Scott and Rachel can have the joy of actually checking out Templeton and Templeton Thompson and all the rest of the bits and pieces? Over to you, Melanie. Introductions, please.
Yeah, no, well, next we've got Templeton Thompson, who's from Texas, and she will be singing When I Get That Pony Road.
Dirt, every inch of me hurts. When I get that pony road, yeah.
So on that wonderful social networking site called Facebook, Pam Hume Townley has said, great talent, sweet gal. The wonderful, as described by Cameron Tilbury, the singer-songwriter, cowgirl, hippie chick, Templeton Thompson. What did we make of that one, Rachel?
Lovely voice. I really like that.
Lovely voice. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. She was, of course, live on the Midweek Drive, our Wednesday show a few weeks ago, where she was actually having tea with Cameron in Nashville. Mm. It was nice. Happy to be there. Scott?
Oh, I loved that. The musicianship behind it, the instrumentation was fantastic.
It looks as though we've got a winner, Melanie.
Oh, I know. She's lovely. Well, hopefully they'll be over later on in the year, so might even be able to get the guys in to come into the studio for a visit. Fingers crossed.
Well, exactly, because as we've said, as you've identified, as you head northwards every so often, you might be heading up to Cambridge, and then, of course, Cambridge is not too far away from Lincoln, as indeed Scott and myself know. It's not that far away, is it, really?
No, it's just getting stuck in the traffic getting out of Cambridge.
So there you are, you see, Melanie. You bypass that, come straight up to the home of Siren 107.3 FM. Just wonderful stuff there. So what else will you be doing over the Easter period? Are you already planning? Because last week we spoke, obviously, Mel, about your excitement about the O2 Arena and the country music thing there. What sort of plans have you got afoot for the Easter period?
Well, lots of horsey plans. As you know, my magazine, Western Horse UK magazine, yep. We're a magazine for cowboys and cowgirls here in the UK. So we've got lots of shows coming up that we're covering, lots of photography to do. So just basically horsey things, really. And hopefully, I've got a couple of bands playing at the event, one of our events in Cambridge, over the Easter holidays as well. So if all that pans out, I'll have lots to tell you after Easter.
Oh, and of course, that cues in, Scott, with a fabulous Scott Davidson pun of the day.
Well, when you redirected Alex from cowboy to cowgirl, I said you gave him a really good steer.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
But that's horsey things are what got me in trouble last time.
Oh.
Because somebody said, could we bring a horse into the studio? And I said, no, it's not a stable environment.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, don't talk about the horse going into the bar, long face now. Anyway, life continues. These are the sort of things hopefully you didn't include in your English dissertation, Rachel.
But, no, not quite, no.
In the acknowledgement section. Well, of course, the dissertation was on, now it's been published and it's out there.
It's
in the system. What is it? What is it? What was the focus?
I did a creative writing piece. It was like a psychological thing.
A psychological creative writing piece. Fantastic. Last two questions for Melanie Crouch, please. Rachel.
Yes. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. Brilliant as usual.
Good. And can we look forward to speaking to you again soon?
Yeah, hopefully next week, next Thursday.
Excellent.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.